This is a marketing communication. Please refer to the Key Information Document, or KID, before making any final investment decisions. Investing involves risk. The value of an investment and the income from it may fall as well as rise, and investors might not get back the full amount invested. Past performance does not predict future returns. The mention of any particular security or strategy should not be considered as a recommendation. For further information on the Allianz Technology Trust, please go to www.allianztechnologytrust.com.
Having failed is something that almost is a badge of honor amongst many of the entrepreneurs. And I don't think that that mindset necessarily persists elsewhere. I think that there is a gravitational pull to the Silicon Valley for many tech entrepreneurs, and I would expect that to persist for a long time.
Hello and welcome to Silicon Valley Bite Size, where we explore some of the biggest ideas shaping technology and investing. Now, every few years, someone declares that Silicon Valley has had its day. China is investing heavily in technology. Europe wants to build the next generation of tech champions, and AI is becoming increasingly global. So with that in mind, have we reached peak Silicon Valley? Now, to answer that question, I'm joined by Mike Seidenberg, lead manager of the Allianz Technology Trust. Mike, great to see you.
Nice to see you.
So, Mike, let's start with the obvious question. I mean, every few years we hear that Silicon Valley dominance is coming to an end. Do you think we've reached peak Silicon Valley?
I mean, first of all, I think if you take a step back and you think about leadership in technology over the past, 40, 50 years, the Silicon Valley has really led, technology innovation. And it isn't unique only to the Silicon Valley, but I think the notion that peak Silicon Valley is occurring is a very difficult one to prove. I've heard it a lot, and even as recently as a couple years ago in San Francisco, when people were talking about, the death of tech, and lo and behold, we have another big secular theme emerging, which is driving a variety of different, different kind of big trends in the Bay Area. So, look, I think the combination of incredibly talented and well-educated workforce coupled with access to capital, in addition to a lot of mid-level managers that know how to basically operate the machine, really makes the notion of peak Silicon Valley a very difficult one. And here again, it doesn't mean that this is the only, center of the universe for technology. But, we've heard this, and, I think it's a very challenging premonition to prove.
Yeah, I mean, various countries over the years have tried and either partially succeeded or totally failed to create a sort of replica of Silicon Valley. I wonder why the ecosystem is so difficult to replicate, why it's become so sort of self-reinforcing, if you like.
Well, I think it really boils down to the fact that if you think about, let's just think about a factory, right? In a factory, we produce widgets. In many of these technology companies, the widgets are the people, the cogs in the machine that basically operate the business, and you could go, function by function. Those types of talent pool are very persistent in the Silicon Valley. So you have groups of people that go from company to company, in high growth phases, that basically execute on the business models. And, from my experience, having worked many decades ago at Oracle, I saw it with my own two eyes. And it can't be understated how important it is to basically have this type of functionality in order to grow a business. And you combine that with, incredibly talented individuals coming out of, you know, just world-class universities, which are kind of cutting edge. So if you go back and think about, you know, when it was search, you know, a university like Stanford was leading the charge for engineering talent around search. And, you know, you can go back to kind of every secular theme that we've seen, and you've seen that the Silicon Valley has typically led it. Look, it doesn't mean that other portions of the world aren't, you know, in the conversation. It's just that the scale of the Silicon Valley tends to allow entrepreneurs to build these big businesses fast. And I think that's the operative I think that is what really is the differentiator.
And I know culture is important to you when you're looking at companies. I wonder if you can sort of expand that to the whole of Silicon Valley. I mean, is there a Silicon Valley culture, a sort of collective ambition, if you like?
I mean, I think first of all, you know, having failed is something that almost is a badge of honor amongst many of the entrepreneurs. And I don't think that that mindset necessarily persists elsewhere. I think there's also this notion of, you know, building barriers around your business and the ability to say, hey, you know, it's okay if we lose money for a while to build the moat around our business. I just don't think that framework is as prevalent if you go, you know, if we go back along the food chain. So if we go back to the venture capital industry, I think there's just a different mindset amongst investors depending on, you know, where you are in the world. And I think for the most part, if you think about these businesses that have been built that are, you know, household names, a lot of them lost money for years and years in order to build, you know, what ended up being, you know, in some cases, a multi-trillion-dollar market cap business.
I'm interested in that idea of failure, like, that it's not the opposite of success, but actually it's kind of part of success. I mean, do you see that in companies?
I mean, I lived it because when I left Oracle to go to a startup, you know, which was an absolutely great idea with an absolutely terrible product that, you know, that couldn't do things that, you know, people on this call would be like, well, of course you should be able to sort alphabetically. You know, I think you learn a lot from understanding, you know, where the misses are, right? Like what was wrong. And that gives you kind of an algorithmic thought process in your next endeavor as to how to do it differently. And you know, in my case, I actually ended up coming to the buy side. But, you know, I will tell you, like, I learned a lot from a company that didn't work, which, by the way, was backed by some of the biggest names in the Silicon Valley, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I learned a lot. And I think that I'm not unique in that. And unique in that perspective. By the way, I would tell you, it'd be much better to go to a company that, you know, took off like a rocket ship and was successful than, but there is something to be said from learning from, you know, missteps and making sure that you kind of have a different playbook on the next company.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you talked a bit about the kind of talent pool there. I wonder if you could expand on that a little bit, you know, why it's one of its biggest strengths. Is it drawing that kind of talent pool from across the world, really? Because it does seem to be a hub for sort of entrepreneurship everywhere.
100%. Look, I think that the thing that makes a talent pool unique is not only the depth, but also the breadth, right? So you have people that want to come here to basically, you know, execute on their careers. And the opportunities are many. And you also have a group of people, and I've seen it with my own two eyes, who kind of go from, you know, hot company to hot company, and they're really good at what they do, whatever that functionality is. And that's really valuable, right? Because if we were talking to CEOs of a fast growing company today, they, you know, she or he would tell you that hiring is such a huge part of the job, and it's really time well spent, because you're looking for this notion of a force multiplier, right? Which is getting a really, really strong employee that can attract other people, but can also kind of, you know, if you think about, you know, this, I always think about, you know, about a rocket, right? And the most important thing about getting a rocket off the ground is terminal velocity, not to geek out on people, but, you know, that's what you're trying to get in these companies, which is just, you know, just kind of breakout revenue, breakout, you know, product adoption, break whatever it is. And it just requires, you know, people that attract good people that are excited about the idea. And therefore, the culture is so important. And you hear it time and time again, you know, in the Silicon Valley, which is, you know, being a great place to work, like being a place that people really want to, you know, build their career, stay in that particular company for a long time. And I think that, you know, we've seen that and, you know, it's super interesting to watch from somebody who, you know, in my case, just loves, you know, spending time with businesses.
Yeah. It must be really interesting to sort of be a part of one of these very kind of dynamic companies. So really it's not really about one company or one breakthrough. It's sort of almost like the machine, you know, sort of beavering away.
I mean, I think it's a journey, right? And some people are successful and it is one company and, you know, they can potentially stay there for a really long period of time. And, you know, you look, it's the household names that you and I kind of talk about where, you know, they have this ability to attract really good talent and keep that talent. But I think for a lot of people who come out here, and I look, you're talking to somebody who moved, you know, from New York City after business school to the Silicon Valley, just because, you know, the excitement and the opportunity and the kind of change that's happening here is something that's, you know, you want to be, I wanted to be a part of. I shouldn't say you want to be a part of, but I really wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it would be useful to know how you're using your position in Silicon Valley to kind of judge where the next big wave of technology trends are kind of coming from. Is it speaking to people in cafes and visiting companies and, you know, how you're absorbing the idea generation?
Yeah, it's a great question. Look, I think ultimately it goes back to a mosaic, right? It's taking a variety of inputs. And as you just alluded to, it's not only talking to public companies, but private companies, and going to talk to chief information officers to understand where budgetary dollars are flowing from to, you know, chief security officers, what's keeping them up at night. And, you know, it's a variety of inputs, and it's also just anecdotally, you know, you just can't help but, you know, run into people who are working on interesting things, or, you know, people that potentially, you know, are in a particular business that's being impacted by that particular technology. So I think it's a variety of inputs. I think that, you know, I have, you know, tons of stories I could tell you, whether it's running into executives on the street in San Francisco to, you know, sitting with somebody, you know, at a sporting event that just kind of can talk for the next 2 hours about what artificial intelligence means to their, you know, HMO, a health maintenance organization. So I think it runs the gamut. But I think the important thing is to have a framework and to be able to take those inputs and really kind of understand where you should be looking for those investment ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so it sounds like we're very much not at peak Silicon Valley.
Well, I mean, first of all, I really don't know. And I would tell you places like London are just full of intellectual capital. But I think that, you know, I've heard this question before. I heard it during the pandemic when everybody supposedly left the Silicon Valley to go to other places. And lo and behold, guess what? A lot of people are moving back here. So look, I think that there is a gravitational pull to the Silicon Valley for many tech entrepreneurs. And I would expect that to persist for a long time.
Okay, great. That is an optimistic note to end on. Thank you so much for all those insights today, Mike, for joining us.
It's great to be here.
Now, if you'd like to learn more about the Allianz Technology Trust and the team's long-term approach to identifying the technologies shaping our future, you'll find portfolio insights, performance information, and the latest commentary on the Allianz Technology Trust website. And if you're enjoying Silicon Valley Bite Size, please like, subscribe, and follow the series. Thanks for joining us.